Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 46 of the SmackDown Wind Down / AW Rampage Late Night Rager. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 132 of WrestleTopia draws to a close. Happy Saturday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AW winds down. And I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach when it comes to recapping these shows tonight, in that I am going to run through the top three stories from SmackDown and the go-to match and a few snippets from Rampage as well, as I want to offer a tight, quick, abridged recap to get you through your weekend as we kick things off with Friday Night SmackDown on Fox going down live from the Bon Secours Wellness Arena in Greenville, South Carolina. And the top story is the return of Karrion Kross and Scarlett to WWE news that was teased via a report from Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful Select. Hours before SmackDown last night, we had no idea a deal was intimate with Scarlett and Kross to return to the company. And here we are. They're back, and we have the hourglass showing for Roman Reigns saying TikTok when Roman came out to let us know that Paul Heyman was recovering at a local hospital after getting F5 through the announce table by Brock Lesnar this past Saturday at SummerSlam. But it's onward to Clash the Castle. We will face Drew McIntyre for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship, which leaves Drew McIntyre coming out, and he's ready to face Roman head-to-head. But before he can do so, we hear some familiar music and the color scheme change from Technicolor to black and white. And I know that music. I know Scarlett anywhere. She's standing on the main entrance ramp, and that distraction allows Karrion Kross to attack Drew McIntyre from behind. It's Karrion Kross with hair whooping ass accordingly, and Scarlett shows up to flip that hourglass in front of Roman Reigns and say, your time is ticking as Universal Champion, to wrap up SmackDown a little before the top of the hour. I have to say, I'm happy to see Karrion Kross and Scarlett back in WWE. I thought they had a good run on NXT. Their presentation during the early days of the pandemic was phenomenal, and I'm glad we get to see that production on the main roster. And WWE, specifically Vince McMahon, bungled that man's debut, losing to Jeff Hardy night one. Then he wears this ridiculous gladiator helmet and the gear, which does not fit his character whatsoever. It felt like sabotage in real time, and I felt for him because he had an aura on NXT that was unmatched for a very long time. But let's not pretend that he did not get cooked by Adam Cole in the summer of 2021. He was ethered. I covered it right here on WST, and it was memorable, and he never recovered from that. The fans at the PC gave him hell until Samoa Joe submitted him to win the NXT Championship last summer, and he lost to Jeff Hardy on the main roster. He had to don that ridiculous helmet, and he was cut by WWE last November alongside Scarlett. So I'm all about second chances to get it right on the main roster. I want Karrion Kross to lock in and fully have his moment on the main roster, and that means stepping up on the mic and realizing you got some allegations to beat in terms of being cooked by Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano in the last calendar year. Roman Reigns will fry you up on the microphone. Drew McIntyre already did so on Twitter. You have to stand out on the mic. Your presence must be everything. And I can understand why Triple H gave him a second go, because he does have the look and the aura and something about him that stands out in a good way. He does bring a level of violence I enjoy, but you got to be able to shake off what happened when Cole and Gargano cooked him on the microphone. You have to fight back against that, because the internet streets are barking and they're saying, nope, you don't belong here. But as I always say, the internet is a sample size of what people think in real time when they buy a ticket, and they're buying tickets to see WWE. They're watching WWE television. There's a renewed interest with Triple H now in charge of creative. And I hope that we can right the wrongs that happened to Karrion Kross on the main roster and his latter run on NXT as well. But he has to step up. He's got to hold his own. Scarlett, she's fantastic. She is a great asset to his act. But Karrion has got to step up as well. I know what he can do in the ring, but you've got to project that persona on screen to really stand out. That's the test. And the fans will sink or swim you one way or another. And we'll see how it goes in the weeks to come. But an exciting way to end SmackDown last night with the championship picture in flux heading into Clash of the Castle in a few weeks' time in Cardiff, Wales. Next up is Liv Morgan getting booed in Greenville, South Carolina, because when you book a finish of Liv Morgan tapping and not holding on for 3 seconds to beat Ronda Rousey at SummerSlam to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship, you're portraying your champion as a fluke, as a paper champion at best, a transitional champion at worst. And none of those combinations are good. And you got a pocket of fans to boot her. And she said, thank you for calling me out on my shit. She tried to explain what happened. They weren't hearing it. I guess there was a Rhonda Stan section last night. They were rooting for the rowdy one and she wasn't there. Now, Liv got her cheers later in the show. But I don't want people to freak out over 1 week of reactions. 1 week is an anomaly. Week two and three is a trend that is concerning. And I'm not blaming the fans. I'm blaming WWE. Booking tells us a lot about how you view someone. If you want Liv to be a strong champion, then she needs to be booked strongly. Let her pin Ronda Rousey. Don't have her tap out. Let the win be clever. Then Ronda can flip and she could turn on Liv, beat her ass, beat up the refs, get suspended. That's how you paint Ronda as the heel and not the aggrieved party when she's technically screwed over when she tapped out Liv before getting pinned. 1, 2, 3. That's a booking flaw by WWE. I'm looking squarely at Paul Levesque, aka Triple H. What do you want to do? Book Liv strongly or protect Ronda? And as for Liv Morgan, I enjoy Liv a lot. She's improved tremendously in the last couple of years. But I will say she's got to step up on the microphone. And when you're the champ, you got to talk your champ shit. You can't be rattled. I remember Bayley getting booed in Canada, of all places, roughly 5 years ago when she told the crowd she had a separated shoulder. They booed her. They booed Bayley. A year ago, they were singing for her. And then the next, they booed her because of bullshit booking. It is an Achilles heel that would get the best of baby faces every single time. And that's on WWE. And it takes a while to recover. I hope it doesn't take a Liv 3 years to recover like it did for Bayley. It took her into a pandemic to really figure out who she's meant to be as a performer. I don't want Liv to wait 3 years to have it all come together. She's got the pieces in place. She's really got to bring it home on the mic and truly project her personality, which is clearly there. A month ago, these fans are cheering for her, cashing in that briefcase, having her moment, but you have to book her strongly. That is so key, because if you book her like shit, she will get booed. And WWE has no one to blame but themselves, but Liv has also got to step up on the microphone to truly tap in and connect. Fuck a script. Be who you are. Be that girl from Jersey that scratched and clawed her way to that championship. But the booking's got to go hand in hand with that, because that is a recipe for disaster when the booking does not compliment the champion you're trying to push. And I don't know what Triple H thinks about Liv being the centerpiece of this division. I truly don't know, but try. Because I don't want to go back to the Charlotte well or the Ronda well. Save that shit for WrestleMania. Save Ronda versus Becky for that date in LA. Reserve Charlotte for something else. But try to establish Liv as the go-to it girl on this show. And our last bit of top story business is the Usos and Sami Zayn. I love this. Sami Zayn was trying to enter the Tribal Chief's locker room all night long, the chit-chat with Roman Reigns. And Jimmy was more than happy to entertain Sami Zayn's hijinks. But main event Jey Uso was giving Sami the business all night long, giving him the stank eye, the look of disgust, like, bitch, you're not a part of this. Why are you a poser? And Sami rose through twice saying, can I talk to Roman? I just want to say hello. And at that moment, Jey snapped and he says, listen, we're champs. Roman's champs. You're not an Uso until you carry your own weight by winning some gold of your own. So you need to handle that if you want to be a part of this crew, if you want to be a part of the bloodline, because you're not fit to wear that t-shirt if you can't carry your own weight in this crew. And Sami got the message. And I love the tension, because I go back to a KO show segment months ago with Kevin interviewing Sami and they're best friends and they're hugging. And then Sami slips and says that he's an honorary Uso. And Kevin Owens says, no, they're using you, Sami. Don't get fooled by the okie doke. And Sami was very defensive about this. So I hope that Triple H remembers this and that we get KO, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, best friends versus the Usos for the Undisputed Tag Team titles between now and the end of the year. To me, that's the only team that's fit to beat the Usos for those titles at this point. The story writes itself. If you want Sami Zayn to be beloved babyface Sami from NXT, this is the way to do it. I love the tension last night, especially from Jey. Jimmy was entertaining Sami. Jey was having none of it, and I loved it as they told Sami, hey, get Roman's pyro and entrance ready. That's your job tonight. And Sami did it like a good foot soldier, but I wonder how long that's going to last in the weeks and ultimately months to come as well. And my go-to match recommendation from last night's SmackDown is the opener involving Ricochet versus Happy Corbin. And I love this match. Ricochet took flight several times with a dive on the outside, hit a springboard clothesline and forearm at one point. And Happy Corbin put on a show as well as he ducked a couple of dives from Ricochet and he dropped Ricochet against the ring post as we go to commercial break. And Pat McAfee gives him hell on commentary as always. Ricochet goes for another springboard maneuver, but Happy Corbin counters it a one-handed neck breaker with the elevation for a near fall, which I really dug. It's a deep six as well, and Ricochet as well. The action goes to the top rope, and eventually Ricochet crotches Happy Corbin against the ropes, lands a recoil, followed by a gorgeous shooting star press from the top rope for the win. A great victory for Ricochet. But I loved the post-match when Pat McAfee threw a football to Ricochet. Ricochet threw it back. Pat signed it, and he punted the ball in the crowd. I love that bit of fan interaction to just add some life to the show. And the crowd was hot most of the way through, but I love that bit of we love the fans. Here's a little token of our appreciation because Pat McAfee was over as always. And he's not afraid to make fun of himself as he noted that Ricochet did something he couldn't do last Saturday, maintain his balance on the top rope and pulling off a high-flying maneuver. And I love Pat McAfee's self-deprecation, knowing that, listen, I kind of stuck it up out there on Saturday, but I'm going to make up for it one day. And I love his honesty when it comes to saying, hey, it wasn't all that, but I got the win nonetheless. So I thought that was a great way to kick off SmackDown. Other notes, Shinsuke Nakamura beat Ludwig Kaiser to earn a shot at Gunther's Intercontinental Championship next Friday on SmackDown. Love the face-to-face. And I got to say, I love the swagger when Gunther and Ludwig made their way down to the ring. Something about their strut tonight was different. It just dripped with confidence, and I love that. And Ludwig Kaiser did not get chopped last night by Gunther. It slightly disappointed me, but I'm sure he'll get his eventually if Gunther is going to retain that championship next Friday, and I expect that he will against Shinsuke Nakamura. Another notable highlight was a gauntlet match to determine Liv's opponent for Clash of the Castle for the SmackDown Women's Championship, and the star of this match was Raquel Rodriguez, who ran through Sonya Deville, who pinned Aaliyah with the DeVille's Advocate, a clever name for a finisher. Then Rodriguez comes out and she basically wipes out DeVille, Shotzi, Xia Li, and Natalya with a combination of the Vader spinning elbow drop from the top rope and the Tahana bomb for the win. Natalya does go after the left leg of Raquel Rodriguez, which allows Shayna Baszler to come out and take advantage as the last woman in this match. And she does lock in the Khufu to clutch when Raquel goes for the Vader bomb elbow drop once again. It was a nice counter, and she weakens Raquel enough to roll her up for the win a short time later, as it would be Shayna Baszler versus Liv Morgan for the SmackDown Women's Championship at Clash the Castle in a few weeks' time in Cardiff, Wales. And I really hope that the Boo Birds don't carry over for Liv Morgan beyond this week, because I want her to get over as a babyface. But you gotta be able to dust yourself off and cut the promo of your life. Just truly trust yourself in every way. You got the skills in the ring to be a great champion, but it goes hand in hand. The creative must be confident in Liv, and Liv must be confident in herself to get over as a top tier star in the SmackDown Women's Division. Is hoping that comes together more clearly next Friday night. And one more note, Kofi Kingston scores a win over Eric in a pretty quick match, and he does wipe out the Viking Raiders with a kendo stick shot that popped the crowd midway through this show. And I'm happy to report we had reduced camera zooms and cuts when Kofi hit the Viking Raiders with the kendo stick. That is growth, damn it. That is progress. And here's hoping there's more to come with WWE tweaking the production techniques in the weeks to come as we fully invest in the Paul Levesque era, which has gotten off to a good start, but there's still work to be done, especially on SmackDown. We need some more stars in that show. Hopefully some NXT call-ups are coming, along with some more returns to WWE in the weeks to come as well, if the rumor mill is to be believed. And I thought this was a solid episode of SmackDown. Not great, not as good as Monday Night Raw, as the show needs a bit more help in terms of depth and pushing people to the forefront, but that will happen in time via call-ups and the draft going down presumably in the fall, so we'll see how it goes. But baby steps to get SmackDown back to where it was over a year ago when it was the A Show in WWE. Now we got to make that smooth transition to last night's AEW Rampage, which went down live from the Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we kick things off with the interim AEW World Champion Jon Moxley versus Mance Warner. And I thought this was a great match, a physical bruising match with Mox delivering a suplex to Warner on a steel chair. It was a painful bump. Mance paid him back with a suplex on the steel chair on the outside as well, and then threw him the steel steps as we go picture in picture. We come back and it is a battle as Mance lays out Mox with a spine buster for a near fall. Mox does fight back with a top rope superplex from the top rope, a dive on the outside that busts up Mance Warner's forehead. Then he lands with hammer and anvil shots to Mance. Mance is going to counter that for a bit, and he gets his head kicked in by Moxley repeatedly, and Mox lands a power driver, then lands in more kicks to the head before locking in the bulldog choke to pass out Mance Warner for the win. A very physical, grueling match as Mox is ready for Jericho at Quake by the Lake this Wednesday for the AEW World Championship, and he is the champ, damn it, regardless of the interim title. Next up is Konosuke Tateshka versus Ryan Nemeth, and this match was a tune-up for Tateshka's Ring of Honor Championship match against Claudio Castagnoli tonight at Battle of the Belts 3, going down from the very same arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Ryan Nemeth had some moments here and there, but this is all about Konosuke Tateshka scoring his first win in AEW with a knee strike for the win. He was over. I love Konosuke Tateshka. His excursion to the U.S. has been a lot of fun this year, and he needed this win to face Claudio tonight for the Ring of Honor Championship, and that could be a damn great match because Konosuke has not missed in the ring at all. And my favorite matches have been Hangman versus Tateshka and Tateshka versus Moxley and Tateshka versus Kingston. Those matches have been works of art, and I expect he and Castagnoli to produce chemistry and magic tonight as well for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Next up is Madison Rayne versus Layla Gray, and this was the weakest match on the show for me. I love Madison Rayne from her time in Impact Wrestling as a part of the Beautiful People, her cameo in the Mae Young Classic several years ago as well. I dig what she does. She's a great asset to the AEW Women's Division as well as a trainer, but she came out ice cold during this match. Layla Gray is a baddie on an interim basis, and she's not clicking with this audience either. It was a cold match. They were kind of off in spots, and ultimately Madison won with a cross rein, a very clever finish. And then Jay Cargill comes out, reigning defending TBS champion. She challenges Madison to a match for the TBS title at Quake by the Lake this Wednesday on Dynamite, and that should be a very solid match if given the time, of course. And Jade is such a star out there. Her presence just stands out in the best possible way, and here's hoping Madison and Jade produce magic this Wednesday in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And now it is time for our main event featuring the reigning defending AEW World Tag Team Champions Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus Josh Woods and Tony Nese. And this was a Friday night street fight, and it lived up to its namesake. As the action started at ringside, we got some protein powder usage by Tony Nese, throwing the powder in Keith Lee's face, blinding him for a bit. Swerve tries to do a toolbox that Tony Nese. He misses and hits steel steps as well, but Tony grabs that toolbox and hits Keith Lee head first with it before Josh Woods lands a twisting suplex to Swerve on the steel steps. As we go to our final picture in picture break of the night, we come back and we got a pair of tables set up at ringside for someone to go through. Eventually, Woods and Nese try to powerbomb Strickland through the tables, but he is able to avoid that crash landing. Lee is going to avalanche Nese and throw him into Woods, and then we have Sterling hit Keith Lee with the chair. That distraction allows Nese and Woods to land a double DDT on Lee onto the steel chair, and they go for the pinfall until Swerve hits a 450 splash to break up the pin at the very last minute. From there, Nese sets up a table in the ring. Sterling hits Strickland from behind with a wrench, and Woods sets up Strickland on the table. Lee is going to make the save by hitting Nese with a headbutt, and Sterling is going to be brave enough in that moment to take that leap of faith, but Keith Lee is going to grab Mark Sterling and chuck his ass through the table by delivering an elbow drop to no one as Swerve got out the way in the nick of time. Outside of the ring, Woods is going to tease a German suplex to Keith Lee, and Tony Nese is going to deliver a superkick to Keith Lee, and that's going to allow Woods to German suplex Lee through two tables. They're out for the count, but Swerve is in the ring, and he is going to deliver a high back body drop to Nese onto a pile of chairs, lands a gorgeous foot stomp on Nese for the win. And I thought this was a fun match. This was not for the titles, which kind of weakened the match for me a bit, but the action was fast-paced, fun, and creative throughout, and you gotta love it to wrap up Rampage on a high note 2 minutes after the top of the hour, a rare over one for Rampage on TNT. And one more WWE note, the Women's Tag Team Championship Tournament starts this Monday on Raw. Cue the return of Sasha Banks and Naomi at any moment now. We'll see how it goes in the weeks to come as I pivot back to Rampage on TNT. You know, this used to be a go-to Friday night show for me. It still is in some ways, but the star power is lacking despite the champs being present in the form of Mox and Swerve and Keith Lee. But they need comparable A-list opponents to face on these shows. And you're turning Rampage into a B-show, which was never the case from day one. But the bloom falls off the rose eventually. And we know Friday night, 10 o'clock, it's not going to be appointment television always. CM Punk cannot make his debut every week from Chicago. And you got to give more TLC to this show because it feels very skippable right now. And I don't want to skip Rampage because it's still a high quality wrestling show, but it's not important in the AEW landscape. And that's saying something. That was not the case last year. And we'll see how they try to rehabilitate this show heading into All Out in a few weeks' time, because you got to make this show be the A-minus show for Grand Slam, for MASH. In a month. It was great last year. He's hoping they can top it this year by making this show must-see once again. First month out the gate, great. Last fall, fantastic. Earlier this year, pretty damn strong as well. But you've got to up the profile of the Friday night show. There is no excuse. You bragged about it being the show that beat SmackDown head-to-head on FS1. That will happen again this year during the World Series. I don't want to hear any excuses as to why you couldn't do it, because it's been done before. So make that show marquee once again. And with that, we got to get ready for Battle of the Belts tonight, going down taped from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And on tap is Kanosuke Tateshka versus Claudio Castagnoli for the Ring of Honor Championship, Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter for the AEW Women's World Championship, and Wardlow defends the TNT title against Jay Lethal. It's a tight lineup. We'll see how it pulls, and the ratings come Tuesday morning when they're released before 12 noon. And here's hoping it's a good number that's at least on par with Rampage, if not a bit above, because we got three titles lined up for this show tonight from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And on that note, this wraps up episode number 46 of the SmackDown Wind Down / AEW Rampage Late Night Rager. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at Lady Wrestling X on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestleTopia. There you can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows that drop on the semi-daily, recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and AEW Rampage on TNT. You know what to do, such as WrestleTopia, and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, plus Amazon Alexa and Spotify. I'll be back Tuesday morning with episode number 133 of The Raw Verdict, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. Until then, enjoy your Saturday, Sunday, and your manic Monday. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.